901-975 The Fanatic, 601-610-632-0975. Yvonne Givens with you until 10. We're here with Tyler Zuli, and we have been talking about the Sixers. A friend of mine reached out and said, I'm tired of the Sixers. And I was like, what? As we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. What? And yeah, that started our conversation here on the show, because I just didn't get it. Tired of Embiid, tired of Simmons, tired of Brown, just tired of the Sixers. As we are getting ready for sports to return and for the 76ers to make a run, hopefully, right? Hopefully, inside this bubble. So I didn't get it. So we threw it out there to everyone. We've been talking about National Chicken Wing Day, and we focus on basically the buffalo wings, right? As you go and you order your wings and you get everything. We were asking which one you like the best, the drum, the flat, or the boneless wing, which is not very popular, it seems, to a lot of people. And also the dipping sauce, blue cheese, ranch, or none, because you don't need it. You already have sauce on the wing. That's where I am. You don't need it. Not only because you don't have the sauce on the wing, because I don't like either of them. I know, I'm weird. You guys know that already when it comes to food. I'm picky about my things, and that's just what it is. All right? So none of you should be surprised at this point that I don't like ranch, blue cheese for a dipping sauce when I'm eating my wings. And Bobby_Simcox on Twitter says, listen, I feel you with the no dipping. Why get the sauce if you're going to dip it anyways? Exactly. Got to savor the flavor is what he says. All right. See? You don't need that. Don't need that. Slick Mike 61 comes back and says, because I said, really? Kool-Aid wings? I said, look, he's a culinary student. They tasted good. Kool-Aid wings. Slick Mike, that's great for you guys, man. Keep it up. Good luck to him. Good luck. Pete Braverman, Delco Pete. Never believed in this team, the Sixers, or this stupid process. I'm only saying it because he has it in quotes here. That has not yet yielded anything except a non-shooting all-star, a center that cannot play more than two games in a row before being rested, and way too much hype for nothing. They're just lame. Go Flyers. Who won their only exhibition game yesterday afternoon, 3-2 in overtime. Fantastic. Scott Laughton with the goal. What was it? Travis Konecny hit him with?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's an angry tweet, by the way.
Yeah, he's like, look, I had
enough. Always angry about the Sixers.
Had enough. Yeah, had enough. Yes. So we'll get
I tend to lean on what one of the callers said earlier. The season hasn't even started yet, for what it's worth. You know, they played 62 games. I don't expect, you know, some kind of massive turnaround all of a sudden where they've like turned a light on and everything clicks and they're an NBA Finals team. But I do expect to at least give them the benefit of the doubt until I see that my thought process was proved correct. I mean, what else am I going to do? Am I going to just sit here and be miserable for the next 3 weeks until the Sixers lose in the playoffs inevitably? Because that's just a waste of my time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel good about them, but I'm not going to sit and be miserable about it.
No. No. And it's an open thing here for everyone inside this bubble. Let's just see what happens. 610-632-0975. By the way, you know, a lot of love here with the wings on Twitter. We got Joey and T-Will. We also had our great chef that sent us the great work here on Twitter as well with the great wings that we definitely have to check out as we from only one Chef B. That's Brian Clark, Chef Brian Clark. So we'll check out Chef B on Twitter as well. And we'll check him out on Instagram to see the orders overall, because we might have to order. And the peanut butter and jelly wings as well, which we say no to. Okay. 610-632-0975. Before we get to baseball, let's go to Joe in West Philly on the Fanatic. Next, Joey.
Hey, what's up,
What's up?
Hey, what's up, Devon? What's up?
Joe, what's going on, man? What's going on with you?
Man, hey, you talking about the Sixers and all, you know, listening to me back.
I appreciate
it. So I'm asking you this. With the Sixers, you know, front court being definitely solidified for the next 3 to 5 years, how do you feel about the backcourt? Do you think that these guys are going to be around for the next maybe 3 years, or do they looking to change, or how do you feel about the backcourt? You think this is the backcourt of the future too?
Actually, no, because I don't think that Josh Richardson will be here long term. Although I like him, I'm curious to see how much they like him. And I'm just guessing here. I like the guy. And they obviously like him. They made sure that they got him back in the trade for Jimmy Butler. But if I had to forecast it, Shake Milton, I think he'll be here, but I don't think he'll be a starter. And number two, Josh Richardson, I don't think that he'll I don't think he'll be here long term, not just because of anything with his level of play. Maybe the money might be too long as well for him, Joe, where they might have to move on and try to find something else. Especially this, Joe.
Yeah.
If Matisse Thybulle turns into this all NBA defender and is somebody that they can count on to knock down an open shot, where they term him as a real 3-and-D,
yeah,
then he has to start.
Exactly. He doesn't start at 2 or anything.
Yep. And you know how it is at this point. We just call them wings anyway. So
yeah, well, exactly. Right. And that's possible. Now, I can see them taking it to the next level. They can definitely tweak their backcourt. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We got to see what these guys do first. Or, you know what I mean? But I think that frontcourt is definitely there. You know, it's got to be there.
Yeah, like look at this one, Joe, for me. And I'll see what you think. Because I like Shake Milton. And I said this, as Shake did what he did in that 9-game span when Ben Simmons was out, he deserved the opportunity to keep it going and being in that starting role for the 76ers if Al Horford was going to go to the bench. That was for this year and the playoffs. That doesn't mean in the playoffs for me, Joe, that won't change if he's not performing well. I'll snatch him out of the starting line and put him on the bench, put Matisse Thybulle in there, and go from there. I'm not taking minutes away from Milton overall, but starting-wise, maybe it's just too much where he has to go against the second units a little more. So going forward, I think Shake will be here. If Matisse Thybulle continues to improve as a player, you can't keep him on the bench. And that means Josh Richardson is going, because as you pointed out when you first started, Joe, you already have your front court with Embiid, Simmons, and Harris. So that means Matisse Thybulle is next up.
Yeah, and if Thybulle can step up, they'll take it to another level. You know, the way he does play defense, and if he can knock, if he really, like you said, if he becomes that 3-and-D guy, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They can take it to another level.
Absolutely. What do you think, before they get started on Saturday, what do you think, man, their chances in this bubble?
I think the Sixers' chances are good. You know what I mean? I mean, I think moving Ben closer to the basket, if he's not going to shoot, I mean, at least he's closer to the basket. And I think that's going to eliminate him pushing the ball or anything like that anyway. So, I mean, I don't think he can, you know, stand around the perimeter too much if he's not going to shoot a little bit. So, if he's not going to shoot like that. So, I think moving him closer to the basket, closer to Embiid, you know, balling boards and, you know, get putting tip backs and all that, I think that's a better opportunity for him.
So
I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
until he shows otherwise.
And we already know that we can do what he does even off the ball, and he'll have the ball a bunch, even though they technically termed him as a four because he's too good. How does the ball? He's not fine.
He definitely got to touch the ball.
So, Joe, you got to, before you go, you got to give us a thought on this chicken wing thing: drumstick, flat, or boneless.
Drumsticks first, flat second. I can't stand. I don't know what boneless is. It's just not natural to me, yo.
Oh, Joe.
I don't even know if that's chicken. I can't
It's a chunk of chicken, man.
I say a chicken nugget too. Or is it just, I don't get the boneless chicken. I don't know. That's not chicken to me.
I love it, Joe. Good to hear from you, bro. And blue cheese. All right, bro. We'll talk to you, man. I appreciate it. And blue cheese at the end. Come on.
Listen, the boneless wing is good. It's tasty. When you want a boneless wing, you want a boneless wing. But it's a chicken nugget.
And we're going to get to Mock in a minute. Mock is one of my closest friends, right? One of my best friends out there. We've had plenty of chicken wings together. This is crazy because the playoffs are going to start. We used to go on vacation and we would go sit. The families would go do whatever they're doing while we were on vacation. It would be game one of the finals when we would get there, me and him. We would go sit down at a bar, and we will order food right there. Wings, pretty much every time. We'll talk to Mark about this, because I already know what he likes, and he knows how picky I am. Let's go to Anthony in Philly on the Fanatic. Ant, what's up?
What's up, fellas? How you doing tonight?
And what's going on, man?
You never had a bad day in my life.
No need
I would be highly, highly shocked if my Sixers don't make it to the finals. I just don't see how. I'm serious. I don't see how. Even Milwaukee, I don't. I just think we're stronger than that. Like with Ben playing his game, especially Ben. I think Ben is the X factor in all of this. And he hasn't even. Not to compare him to LeBron, but when he gets the mental part down, like that like LeBron mental type thing, he's gonna be ridiculous. It's just gonna be.
That goes part Anthony to the shooting aspect of his game. It's mental.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
It's mental.
Correct.
And I'll get to this Jackie McMullen story that everybody's starting to talk about a little bit that came out like at the end of May. And everybody's talking about him seeing a sports psychologist. She had that in that story in May, and everybody's talking about it. But that's the mental part of it where he has to get over. It never hurt him like Markelle Fultz, where it affected him that bad. But it affects him enough where we're talking about a fourth-year pro, third-year on the floor, that we are waiting for him to take those jump shots.
Correct. I don't see us lose. I think Milwaukee, that's like a 4-2 series. I just don't see. It's going to be Lakers and Sixers in the finals. That's what I see. I don't see us getting beat. I just can't. I think we're too talented. I think if we hadn't been so bad on the road, it'll be a whole different conversation.
Yeah, because we're talking about a 29-2 team at home. If you were at least .500 on the road in those 34 games, and you're sitting there talking about 17-17, look at what we're talking about now, right?
Yep. But the talent, not to cut you off, the talent to only lose two games at home, that's telling you something.
Yeah, like, so what is it telling you when you go away and you have 10 of 24?
I don't know if it's a coach preparation. And, I like Brett Brown for what he's done, and I love that they stuck with him through the bad times. I don't know if he's the coach for the future. But if we had a different coach, I guarantee you our record on the road would not be like that. I'm just saying.
All right.
That's my opinion. Sixers and Lakers in the finals, Lakers in 6.5 or 6 games.
Okay. All right. And you got to help us with the wings, man.
I'm like my man that just hung up. That bonus thing is like... That's like shoes with no soles. I don't know what that's about. You pants and old liners. I don't know that boneless thing is not for. Some things don't go together, like boneless and chicken. Traditionally, chicken has always been on the bone. You know, pretty much. You know, that's how I roll with it. The boneless thing, I'm cool with. I can't rock with the boneless. Scott, give me a bone.
All right, you got it, man. Appreciate it.
And
good to hear from you, man. Oh, man. The boneless is being attacked.
As it should.
The boneless is being attacked.
Mm. Now we just got to get on the, you and I have to get on the flats crew, and we'll dominate the wings conversation.
Oh, man. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Mock, as promised, one of my best friends. Mock, you hear this nonsense out there, man?
I hear it, man. I hear it.
Yo, they're killing the boneless wings and acting like they don't exist, and they are tremendous.
You know, I love the boneless wings, but the whole thing with the boneless wings is I feel like I'm getting fatter as I eat.
Because they're easy to take down.
Like gaining weight at every bite.
Oh, they're easier to take down.
Right. Listen, one of the callers, I don't know if he was reading something or somebody said, I can't even remember, but they said something, they were talking about Joel. I said, man, I got to call, man.
Yeah.
And with Joel, I think what's frustrating me and what's frustrating everybody else, dude, is I think, like, just with the whole not playing in games things, like, we know it's precautionary at this point. Like, it's probably nothing really seriously wrong with them, but there's no track record of a guy who can lead his team to the promised land and get us the championship, but not being available. Like he's the guys who really want it and really want to win. Like, you got to pry them off the court. Like you got to darn near, like, you know, like take their helmet. Like, if they're playing football, like, you got to take their helmet so they can't get back on the field. Like, guys who really want it, who really want to win. Like, you can't keep those guys off the court, and yet it's hard to keep him on the court, it seems like. Like, and we know, like, when he's on and he wants to play and he's motivated, he can kill people. But we also know he has a couple people when you run into that he's going to give you, you know, in the team, he's going to give you 16 or 18 or something like that.
Right.
But I just think the injury thing, man, and I don't want to be killing Joel because, you know, I like Joel. But the injury thing or not playing, I mean, not playing, but not playing thing is just, like, how bad do you want it? Like, are you not working hard enough to get in shape that you can be on the court? Are you just injury prone? What is it? Because there's no track record of a guy who can bring you the championship that can't stay in the court. Like, what's going to happen in the championship? Is they going to have to sit him a game in the championship? And if they play him, then they risk him being out for the rest of the season because he hits his hand on the rim or he runs into somebody again. Like he's making me wonder if he's going to be like Chris Webber. Like, are we looking at Chris Webber like a dude who comes into the lead and is nice, be killing people, but then injuries just, he never really turned. Like, Chris Webber was killing the NBA. Like, you thought he was about to be one of the, you know, the best of all time. Like, right? Like, am I wrong?
No, you were, yeah, you're right. And then the knees
dunking
and stuff.
On Barkley.
Yeah.
Dunk on behind his back and dunked on Barkley. Like, I'm just hoping that Joel don't be one of those big guys who, you know, put up numbers and dominate for a few years and then just kind of fizzle out. Like, because he has to stay on the court. Like, how? Like, do you know how we love to play? Like, we playing for free, and, like, we be hurting, we still on the court. Like, this dude, he getting money and can't stay on the court.
Nah.
Real quick, Ben, I was watching, I saw Ben and Tobias talking on the bench.
I know, like, what you're talking about, yeah.
And Ben was doing the thing with him that he did with Jimmy Butler, like where you talking to him, but he's not really looking at you. I'm like, Ben don't want to hear it.
It's like did you see the one where he took those shots and Tony Snell, when they were in L.A. and Tony Snell was like, oh, your jump shots looks better. And then he was like, Orlando. Mm-hmm. He was like Tony Snell saying it. He's like, yeah, I know, but whatever.
Right.
Yeah, that's Ben. He doesn't want to be told to do anything. He'll do it when he's ready.
Right. Do you think that he wants and or needs his own team? Like, he kind of rebelled against Jimmy Butler, wasn't really, like, seemed like feeling Jimmy Butler. And, like, do you think that he needs to be in a position where he can kind of just, where he can be the voice? Like, does he have to be put in that position because he's not naturally a leader, he's not naturally a take charge control type of guy? But does he have to be put in that position? Is it on Brett to help him in any kind of way? I think it is.
Yes, but do I?
Not totally. I think all on Brett.
Yeah, and I do think he wants his own team. Just like I think Embiid wants his own. You know, those top stars, they all want their own team. So if he feels like, which we know he does, feel like he's one of the tops in the league, then of course he wants his own for sure. Yeah, but give it a go for a couple more years here and see what happens. I think they can win it. The main thing, Mike,
right,
as you talked about, do you want it? And we haven't seen them, and I keep saying this, and I'm going to continue to say this until the end of this playoff. We have not yet seen all NBA, all-star Ben Simmons, all NBA Joel Embiid, all defense guys at the same time when they were in the playoffs. It's either an injury, like you said, for one reason or another, Embiid is not on the floor, or Simmons is not playing well, where they have not been to collectively the dynamic duo that we always talk about them being.
Right.
And in order for them to do that, they have to be at their best.
Yep. Let me ask you this too, though, Dean. I think this could maybe be one of the, like for Joel and Ben to kind of coexist and reach their full potential. I wonder sometimes if we kind of rushed too much. And you know, I didn't like Covington. I think he took too many bad shots. Other than that, I like them.
Yeah.
But I wonder if we rush too much, because even with a guy like Tobias, I like Tobias, but I wonder if he needs to take a little bit more, like, of a back seat, because once Joel comes back, then a lot of where Ben likes to operate is going to be.
You mean rushed in terms of pushing the team further?
I wonder if we needed to keep, like.
Well, here's my thing.
People who need the ball, like Joel and Ben, they both also need the ball, even though Joel's not a guard. He still needs
the
ball.
Yeah, he needs it. He's the best player.
To get their touches, you know what I mean? For them to get their touches, you can't have a bunch of other guys who need the ball in their hands. Like Josh Richardson,
he needs the ball.
Yeah.
Tobias, he needs the ball. Like, I think, like, if you can run offense through two guys, you, the other guys who you run offense to have to know, like, that you get your touches after these two guys. Well, we're going to feed them the death, and then you get your touches.
Well, Mike, that's where the whole thing goes back to the Jimmy Butler thing in terms of moving right. Covington and Sharge. It was simply get Butler, and everything else is built around them. That's where the mm-hmm. other trade stuff comes in. You don't move on. You don't move on from Shamit. You keep Shamit. You draft mm-hmm. Matisse Thybulle. Mikhail was part of that. And now you're looking mm-hmm. at maybe even JJ being here as well in a bench role. And you're talking about Shamit, JJ, Mikhail, Jimmy Butler, right? Right. All of that. And right there, that's the thing, Mike. We got to go, man. But look, I'll talk to you later. Appreciate it, bro. You got it, man. Hey, Lee. Oh, I ain't talked to Lee in a while. Can't wait to get to Lee, Mike, Travis. We got to talk about the baseball stuff. As Joe Kelly, we will give you that stuff. So, look, guys, hang on. I will get to you when we get back. 610-632-0975. We'll get to the Joe Kelly stuff. We'll keep the Sixers conversation going. We'll wrap it up with the Wings polls on the Twitter account, 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll do all of that in the final segment, 25 minutes commercial free. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
.929 here on The Fanatic, final segment. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock. So we have about a good 23 minutes commercial free. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli producing. We will get to Joe Kelly as well as we talk. Matter of fact, let's just look. Joe Kelly, if you didn't see it, he threw very, very hard behind Carrera of the Houston Astros. They had a bench clearing conversation since they couldn't brawl because of COVID. A lot of words being said.
Bench clearing, rock, paper, scissors battle.
Whatever you want to call it. No fight. He got 8 games. And he did throw at his head. He did throw at his head. So you understand why the number is... You don't understand why he got suspended. Is the 8 games excessive knowing that... First of all, this is not going to be the first time that people throw at the Houston Astros with everything that we all know at this point. Their manager and their general manager, what? Suspended and or both fired, right? They were both fired or suspended and fired? All right. But anyway, the discipline was in the front office and with the manager, not necessarily with the players. So the players from the other teams are going to take it out on them. And... Kelly threw behind Carrera, almost hit him. If he hit him, it would have been bad, really bad. 8 games, though, because he didn't hit him. And the discipline, once again, for the Astros was just the manager and the front office, the general manager. So what gives, is 8 games too much? Yeah, first of all, it's going to be a big appeal. Probably knock down to 4 or 6 games, and you go on from there. It's a 60-game season. Come on. Come on.
If you put that out through...
8 is too many.
If you put that out through a 162-game season, that is a 22-game suspension for throwing at a guy. Now,
is it fair to look at it this way?
I think it is. I think it is, because when you think about players that were suspended last season for PED use... and got 20 games because it was their first strike,
mm-hmm.
you're basically telling me that if this was a right... And obviously, they wouldn't have given him 22. But in the condensed season, you are taking away that percentage of games from a guy that the Dodgers are counting on to be one of their back end of their bullpen type guys. I just think that it's... I think that it's extremely unfair to give him 8 games. Like you said, it's dangerous throwing at people. It's always been that way. And getting hit with a fastball in 2020... is, despite other than the fact that guys throw a little bit harder now, is no dangerous than getting hit with the fastball in the 40s and the 60s and the 80s 10 years ago, 3 years ago, 3 months ago. It's all you know, relatively the same danger-wise, but all of a sudden, because of the fact that it's the Astros, this guy gets punished 8 games because he was throwing behind these hitters. So what that tells me is Rob Manfred punished the guy that threw at the cheaters more than he punished the cheaters who did the cheating. Doesn't make any sense to me.
And former Astros manager, former A.J. Hinch, and ex-Astros general manager Jeff Lunau will fulfill their one-season suspensions for this season, and they were both fired in January following the investigation by Major League Baseball. So, yeah, they are both free.
And both should have been suspended for their roles.
And then the team decided, all right, you're fired.
And then there is no punishment on a single player because they got some kind of immunity for speaking up. It's ridiculous.
For being cooperative in the investigation, and we'll let you, all right, you guys, cool. It's all good. No. So, yeah, I think it's too much. I think it's too much. Yeah, I do. I think it's too much. 610-632-0975. Let's go to my man Lee. What's up, Lee?
Yo, what's going on, Divine? Long time.
I know, man.
How you been?
I've been good, man. Staying safe, staying out of the way. How about you?
Same here. Things been good. So let's get into it. So it's so much to talk about. And I've been listening to the show all night. And it's so much to talk about. But I'm going to stick to just what's current right now. This upcoming bubble. So one, I'm excited. I think, in all honesty, like, you know, this is a new season, in my opinion. And I think in probably everybody that I've heard talk about it that's down in the bubble has all seen it kind of the same way. It's a brand new season, you know what I mean? Like it's a fresh start. So to me, the Sixers have the same, despite of what we saw and over the last, you know, those 60 games that were played, I think, in my opinion, they got just as much of a chance as they had, you know, back in October, whatever it was, 15th or whatever, when they first played their first game. Like, I know a lot of people are down because of what they saw. But to me, I think this kind of saved the season in a way. It kind of saved us because they all acknowledge it. Like, the players aren't dumb. Brett Brown, though, they all know the direction that they were headed before this whole break happened. And it's something to be said when you get a second opportunity. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like as a kid when you playing, like, you know, Madden when back in the day when we were much younger, playing Madden, and somehow your mom come by and you get blown out in your season, and she knocks the court out of the socket.
I know, you hate
and
that.
You're like, oh, you know, you're part of your
got
like,
attitude hey, right there.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're like, man, I was getting dogged anyway, so I'm giving me a fresh start. Like, that's kind of like the equivalent of it. I think they all got a fresh breath of air, and they can hold each other to a different level of accountability because you can point back to, like, we ain't going back there again. Like, we can't, you know what I mean? And then if chemistry was a problem, there's no better place to build chemistry with a team than being locked inside of a bubble with them, you know, spending all your days with them. So to me, I'm excited, and I just love what I'm seeing, man. I think Ben has looked amazing. Even last night, he didn't shoot well, but his aggressiveness is off the chart.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tobias Harris, and your man said it too, it's tough because Tobias Harris can be, like my neighbor always says, she wants him to be aggressive. Like, I don't think he can be aggressive necessarily with Ben and Joe when they both play because it's just not enough balls to go around. But what I need Tobias to be is assertive. Like, when you get your opportunities, don't play around. Get to that, you know, mid-range game where you put people on your back and you hit them with the turnarounds. Like, get to that and get to it fast. I don't think you can be super aggressive because it just ain't that many opportunities. But when you get your opportunity, man, don't play around. Go at it, you know?
No, and I agree, man. And that's why I said in this setting, knowing what happened last postseason because of J.J. Redick being the second option, Jimmy Butler having the ball, Ben Simmons needing his touches in order to stay engaged, and, of course, Joel Embiid when he was available and out there, the exact same thing. Tobias Harris was lost in that entire thing. So now with those guys going, he is clearly the second option in this offense behind Joel Embiid, and I need him to step up every game, give me that normal 19, and possibly give me as much as 22, and from time to time explode like he did last night and give you a 28-30.
Yeah, exactly. So one other point I heard you make, a caller asked you about the backcourt. I don't know, man. I think Matisse is for sure the future of the Bengals.
Well, that's what I said. He's the one that's going to be in there.
The one thing that I don't know about, and I think I lean a little more to yes than you probably do right now because we haven't seen it. But Shake Milton can shoot the ball, man. He can shoot the ball. And that's what the Sixers is looking for.
Yeah.
And I think he got a chance. Like this year and next year, he has a chance to prove himself as maybe not, I don't know, maybe he's not a point guard. Maybe with Ben, you can always.
I think he's a combo guard.
Yeah, like he could be a two. With Ben, he's perfect. I think he's got a potential to be that Markel Fultz that they thought they drafted. Like maybe not on the level of a first round pick, but in terms of the role. Shoot the ball a little bit.
I just think that at the end of the day, they'll probably try to locate something in the free agent period, spend if Josh Richardson is moving on, they'll have a little bit more money. Even though the money is tied up in Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid, they'll spend a little bit of that mid-level and go spend it on somebody who they feel can be maybe in that role. While Shake Milton is then that combo guy, primary guy to come off the bench, yes.
Yeah, but I'm loving it.
Especially if they trade Al Horford, maybe they get that guy back in that deal.
Oh, well, that's different. Now we're talking.
You know what I'm saying?
Get a big piece. Yeah, that's right.
Because you have to get something. You have to get something back in that.
But I like those two kids, man. Oh, one last point, man. Can we get Brett? Like, Clark Brown, I can't trust him, man. He doesn't look like a guy that should be on the court in a playoff game.
Yeah.
Just put Burke in. They're not shooting that difference of a percentage right now. Like, just put those guys in. Put him in. He at least can give you something else, man. He at least can attack off the bounce when the defense is unbalanced. Like, I like Court, but he got to go.
You know how it is in the playoffs, man. You can shoot yourself in, or you can shoot yourself out. Absolutely. Yep. Quickly, wings. Mini drum, flat, or boneless?
Love them all. But I tell you, a wing, there's a place, I don't know, I won't even say the name, but there's a place where you get a wing called, they do a Parmesan wing. So what it is, you know how you do chicken Parmesan, like pasta?
Yeah.
They do a wing that is chicken Parmesan. It is crazy. It blew my mind. I thought I was ordering the garlic Parmesan that your producer was talking about he didn't like. Come to find out when it came to the table, it was called like Parm Wings. It was actually chicken Parm. Like the pasta dish on top of your wings. And it was crazy good. Like, it makes total sense because that's what's in chicken parm. But to have it on wings, I wouldn't expect it to be that good.
Really?
It was here. Yeah, it was different.
All right, man. Yeah. Well, listen, don't be a stranger, man.
Hiss. Oh, I won't, man.
We'll talk to you, man. Basketball's back. You got it, man. Uh-huh. No doubt about it. Thanks, Lee. Good to hear from you.
When he was describing it, I didn't think I would like it. But as he went further and further in, I'd try that. I'd give that a shot. Can't be bad.
Mm.
Are you out on that one too?
Yeah. You know.
Do you like chicken parm?
Sometimes. Not an all of the time thing. Nah. You know. Eh.
We probably, you know what we should do?
Eh.
Should write a list of foods you do like. It's probably a lot shorter. Is there going to get to a part, like, is there a part of you that, like, you stand outside in the sun and, like, photosynthesize and don't have to eat food? You just make your food from the sun?
We've done this before. It's like growing in the garden, huh? Plant some seeds.
Yeah.
See what I like? We've done it. I think we did it once with Joe, me and Joe Torti. Things Devon likes and doesn't like. Just ask the caller. Just like that.
So, wait, did they give you a food and you'd say yes or no? Or
Joe, throw food out to the caller and have to answer it. And then, of course, I respond to the answer. Yes or no? I think we've said enough of what I don't like, where people who listen on a regular basis at this point probably know what I like and what I do not like. Or if you heard some, you can guess what I'd like or do not like. That type of thing. But the Korkmaz thing there, man, is people. Korkmaz out. Lee talking about it. Nate talking about it. Korkmaz out in the rotation. Even Mike was talking about it as well. Mike in Jersey next. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Devon, how are you?
How you doing, man? Good to hear from you.
I'm excited for the bubble, obviously, for the season to get started back up.
Who is the backup center in our second unit?
So far, it has been Norvell Pell getting the first run. Well, Embiid, and then it's Horford, but the third center is Norvell Pell.
Because I know Mike Scott's minutes have been limited as it is, but Mike Scott and like Howell Neto and like even at times Robinson and Burks, I feel like Norvell Pell should get a chunk of these minutes because I feel like when he's off the bench, he has nothing to lose as being a rim protector because if he gets in foul trouble, it's really not that big of a deal because we have Horford and Embiid that log the big minutes. Like Embiid in the playoffs, hopefully, if he's healthy, he's going to log about 36 minutes. And not every single time you can contest these guys driving to the rim because they do it so consistently. If you're guarding a guy like Giannis, you're going to get into foul trouble if you're going to try to block every single shot. But Norvell Pell can go out there and has nothing to lose. I think he provides more than a Mike Scott would.
Well, yeah. What about Kylo Quinn? He's not in on that?
I think Norvell Pell just gives you more than Kylo Quinn does. I think he's quicker. He reminds me a lot of Nerlens Noel.
That's a good comparison, yeah. Nerlens Noel, of course, went to Kentucky, and Norvell Pell did not. So, of course, coming out, you're not wrong. You're not wrong in that regard. I've liked him, Defensive Player of the Year in the G League. He brings a lot of energy. Sometimes he looks like he's a little bit lost from time to time, Mike. He picks up silly fouls, like when you watched him yesterday against Kristaps Porzingis, and he is an all-star, Kristaps Porzingis. But he had to know better, especially with him and his recovery, being able to move his feet well. You can't give him that much space to get those open looks like he was getting behind the three-point line. I'm not asking you to stop him, but Brett Brown was furious and when he called the timeout because he kept giving him too much space.
Absolutely, but I think like fourth quarter, big minutes, that's not going to matter. Like in the fourth quarter, Embiid's going to be in and Horford's going to be in. Pell's probably not going to see the floor.
Yes.
I'm talking about like second and third quarters.
That's fair for about 6 minutes. I hear you.
Yeah, just go out and be aggressive. Like, it doesn't matter. If you pick up dumb fouls, so be it. But he can give you just a sparkle. I think he gives you more than, like, a Mike Scott would. I would rather see him get those Mike Scott minutes.
And as you said, I think Mike is kind of, you know, playing himself. Even though he had, what, 14 yesterday off the bench, he shot about 15 times to get those. He got to the free throw line. He was aggressive. But I just don't know. And as we go deeper into it with Matisse Thybulle, Al Horford, Alec Burks, Glenn Robinson III, Furkan Korkmaz, and Mike Scott there. We're talking about six guys off the bench that Brett Brown has to figure out maybe a 3-4 man tops rotation there.
Yeah, like, I can't wait to see. I just can't wait to see, like, the production, like, the quality of basketball we get, you know?
I cannot either, especially when they start to count for the seeding. If you want to move up, you know, you're not good enough to just decide, oh, we're going to play Boston. You can't do that. You're not good enough. You have to go out there and try to win these games. There has to be a purpose to these games when you go out there now in these seeding games that start on Saturday. Has to be a purpose.
Has to be. And I agree with people that say it's a new season because it really is.
It is for them. No question about it. All right, sign off with the wings, man. Mini drum, flat, or boneless?
Got to go drum. The boneless wings, they don't do it for me. They're chicken nuggets. I'm one of those people. They're not wings, you know?
They call them wings, so they're wings.
So they call them wings, so they're more expensive.
That's what Tyler said, Mike.
Yeah, I agree with Tyler.
All right, man, listen, we'll talk to you, Mike. Be cool. Have a good night. We'll talk to you later. You got it. Hey, the hate. I tell you, the hate. The hate. And the Furkan Korkmaz hate is there as well.
Yeah, I'm on that boat.
Get him out of the rotation.
But, and it's funny because a couple of weeks ago when you and I talked about who makes the rotation, I put his name in there.
Who's the first three?
The right first three, off
first
the bench?
Three. Yep.
Horford, Matisse, and...
Yeah, you can't stretch it. You know who is Furkan Korkmaz right now.
Burke?
You know you Burks? Can't. He's
Probably
the
Burks.
Fourth.
Not, but I can't put him in after Korkmaz.
It's the shooting. It's strictly the shooting, nothing else.
But like you said, if he doesn't hit his shots,
but
he's useless.
He's only had one performance where he hasn't hit the shots. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
No. He actually didn't shoot the ball well on Sunday.
Yeah, his game two wasn't very good.
Yesterday he was kind of okay. Right now he's in it.
Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't be, but he's going to be.
Right now he's in it. He's going to be in it. Because he is the best shooter off the bench.
That makes me sick.
He's the best shooter off the bench. Is Marco Bellinelli over again, man? All over again.
I trusted Bellinelli more than
of
I trusted him.
He has a track record. Furkan was almost, remember the reports came out this summer? He was signing back at home or whatever club he was supposed to sign with back overseas. And then that was not true, apparently. I did ask him that. Me and him were talking at media day. We were just on the side. I was just shooting around. He came over and shot with me, and we just started talking. I was like, what happened with the contract? He was like, that was never true. It was never true that he was staying overseas. He always wanted to come back here, but was unsure if he was going to be able to come back here. And he has played well this season. That's why he's going to be in that first three off the bench, because he can stretch the floor, and he does play well with Ben Simmons. Alec Burks, like people were saying, you're talking about Burks. I've always liked Alec Burks from Colorado. All the way back to Colorado, we went into the Jazz. I was like, yo, this guy, because of his handle. Strictly because of his handle. Some guys just have a wiggle to them, and the shakes, no pun intended with Shake Milton, they have the wiggle, they have the shake, the handle is there, everything is there. You can just see it. His injuries have taken over. Of course, they drafted over him in Utah. His injuries didn't help. I want him to be in a rotation as well. When they brought him in here, I liked it. He has been healthy. Knock on wood. He will get some run. Who fits best with Simmons? Furkan Korkmaz. Catch and shoot. Alec Burks is a put the ball on the floor and shoot. Yes, he can catch and shoot. Furkan Korkmaz, that's what he does. So, I don't think you're going to get your wish, my man.
No, I think you're right.
I don't think you're going to get your wish.
Here's hoping more than anything.
All right, let's get some of these tweets. C. Brennan, 77. Those are called nuggets.
Chicken nuggets.
Boneless. And I disagree because Katina says, this is actually her Twitter name. Katina says, and I looked at her entire Twitter name, Katina_says. She says, boneless chicken wings are not real wings, and ranch should be an illegal dipping sauce.
Correct.
Okay. But she's wrong about the boneless wings.
Ranch is good on other stuff, not on wings.
All right. All of the deliciousness with twice the practicality, that's Ryan Boyer, when we talked about the boneless wings. Thank you, Ryan. Will.
So you're just lazy.
Sometimes you can be lazy. Will, B. Donovan 002. Lemon pepper or barbecue are the only wings I'll eat. All right.
You're not in on the lemon pepper.
No. That's why I said, maybe I just haven't had the right ones. I've had the one. I didn't like it. KP4514, I don't dip. I just smash my wings, LOL. Every now and again, I might dip. Every now and again. Boneless are just fancy nuggets. That's disrespectful. That's right, Los, on Twitter. And we have a bunch more down the line, but we have to get to our final results of the Twitter poll. Thanks to everybody for tweeting in. Really appreciate it. What are the Twitter poll final results?
Yeah, so these two went exactly how I hoped they would. Exactly how I hoped they would. So the first question was, which style of wing do you prefer? Just under 700 votes. 46% say drums. 39% say flats. 15% say boneless wings. So then the second one was, what do you dip your chicken wings in? That one had 650 votes. 46% say blue cheese. 29% say just the wing sauce, no dip at all.
That's right.
24% say ranch.
And you go blue cheese.
I go blue cheese, drumstick. So my top choice got 46% of the vote on both polls.
All right. I mean, I would like for everybody to say that they just like the sauce that comes with the wing. That's why you ordered it. But okay. Because I always look at it and I see people, they dip it in there and then it can just get mixed all in the dipping sauce. It's like, well, why don't you just pour it on there?
Well, so no, actually, the reason I like that and the reason I like that is because if I get wings for an appetizer and, you know, the blue cheese gets a little bit of the wing sauce in it, if I have something else that I'm eating for dinner and it will go with, like, let's say fries, right? I'll dip my fries in there. It's got a little wing taste to it.
Yeah, I can't do that. Ketchup.
And see, I don't like ketchup. Yeah, it's like the one thing I won't go with. That and mayo.
I know. Ty, another good one, man. We would appreciate it. Tomorrow, programming note, folks, we will start at 7 p.m. tomorrow instead of 6. That is because, and my cousin just texted me on the way out on the text board, boneless. That's right. That's why it's my family and I love them. We will be here at 7 o'clock because we have Cousins Corner from Parks Casino, 6 to 7, Anthony Gargano. So Anthony from 6 to 7, then we'll join you from 7 to 10 tomorrow night. So have a great night. NBA basketball is back tomorrow. We get Phillies back over the weekend. Flyers on Sunday, Sixers on Saturday. It's all great. All great. Have a great night. Thanks to everybody for checking in and listening. Tyler, great work as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow 7 here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.